I'd like to share some edifying Greek poems with you. Because who doesn't like Greek poetry from the 4th century BC? Here we go. This is an awesome edifying poem, and it's about Zeus. So here we go. A guy named Aratus wrote this poem. He said, "Let us begin with Zeus, whom we mortals never leave unspoken. For every street, every marketplace is full of Zeus. Even the sea and the harbor are full of this deity. Everywhere, everyone is indebted to Zeus, for we are indeed his offspring." Second poem from Epimenides, also speaking not only of Zeus, but to Zeus. Epimenides wrote in about the 7th century BC. Speaking to Zeus, he says, "You are not dead. You live and abide forever. For in you we live and move and have our being." You've heard that line before, haven't you? In Acts chapter 17, as the apostle Paul was interacting with people who knew this poetry really well because it was part of their culture. He was not in Greece because Greece wasn't a country, but he was in the Greek cities. He was in the Greek city of Athens. And he was there interacting with people who worship Zeus. And he quotes their poetry to them and says, "There's enough truth here, and we need to talk about what is true in your poetry and how it relates to the one true God." I really like the move that Paul makes here. Paul takes the time to appreciate another culture and another religion's art and philosophy, the way it talks about meaning. He finds truth there, and he appreciates the beauty and the goodness of it enough to memorize it and talk about it with them when the time comes up. I really like that model. I like it so much that we are going to practice this today. And you and I are going to interact over some poetry from our culture and the way that our culture has some good things to say about God or some right things to say about God. And it's not off Shine FM, it's off what I'm calling Shadow FM, which is every other radio station out there. It's not a shot at Shine. It's simply a way of saying that there are good things on other radio stations. There are good pagan poets who actually get something right, at least according to the Apostle Paul. So if you're kind of getting a burr in your bonnet about this or something, undies in a bunch, something like that, if your undies in a bunch are about this, well, deal with the Apostle Paul. Okay, but we are going to practice what he does. So with that introduction, we're going to play a song for you. It is called Fast Talk by a group called Houses. And the lyrics are in your bulletin.
Me and my best friends cruising down West End Street, hiding from cops and driving circles around the block all week. Now all of my friends died out on West End Street. They say we're born to die young, but we're just trying to live in peace. So maybe heaven is a ghetto with no bad blocks, Shangri-La dealers at the bus stop, and maybe God is just a cop that we can fast talk. So if you're guilty and you know it, put your hands up, 'cause karma's just a different word for bad luck. And what if death is just another pair of handcuffs? Then we better run. Friends went crazy on LSD, sailing the cars in the big bright city streets, and
say we're born to die young, but we're trying to find a better way. Maybe heaven is a ghetto with no bad blocks. Shangri-La demons at the bus stop. And maybe God is just a cop that we can fast talk. So if you're guilty and you know it, put your hands up. It's just a different word for bad luck. And what if death is just another pair of handcuffs? Then we better run. Then we better run.
What up?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm just sitting in my head. And I'm gonna be 32 years old tomorrow, and I feel half completely alive and half completely dead.
Day after day, they say we're born to die young, no one's gonna find a better way. Maybe heaven is a ghetto with no bad blocks. Shangri-La dealers at the bus stop. And maybe God is just a cop that we can fast talk. So if you're guilty and you know it, put your hands up. Cause karma's just a different word for bad luck. And what if death is just another pair of handcuffs? Then we better run.
All right, let's interact. I would like you to take a look at the lyrics. They're on the back of your bulletin. And I'd like us to do what Paul did. What is good? What is true? What's right about this song? They're not going to get everything right, but call it out. What are some things that are good? What can we affirm the way that Paul affirmed? If you're guilty and you know it, I love that. Yes, the admission that we're all guilty. Like, everyone put their hands up. That's right. I like that. That's right. Well done. What else? We're trying to find a better way. Yes. There's some longing. There's also a recognition that the way that we've been living life hasn't really been working out. We better try something different. My friends went crazy on LSD. I don't want to go down that direction. All of my friends died. Right? Need to find a better way. What else? What else can we affirm? What else is true and good? Half alive, half dead.
At 32.
Yep.
Because I think that is a projection that all of us can understand.
Yes.
That it's all, we're only alive in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's an admission. David said that he really appreciated the half alive, half dead line because we're not truly living if we don't know Christ. And many people experience a half alive, half dead life. Like it's this song is just full of longing for there's got to be more. And what I'm experiencing isn't enough. It's only half a life. Yeah. What else would you affirm?
We're just trying to live in peace.
We're trying to live in peace. Yes. Absolutely. We need a better way, and the violence that we have experienced hasn't been good. What else?
You would like to the imagery of heaven being a ghetto with no bad blocks. So we don't think of heaven as being a ghetto necessarily, but for him, that's kind of his home, that it's safe. Like, it's a safe place.
Yeah, Lisa said that she resonated or at least picked up with on the line that maybe heaven is a ghetto with no bad blocks, because maybe for this particular writer, the ghetto is a safe place, that's been home, but or not necessarily a safe place, but it's been home, and he'd like his experience to be even better. He'd like it to be what he knows, but safer. Yeah. Well done. Anything else you would affirm? Open, we pray day after day. There's a reaching out for something more. Someone. Yeah. Prayer is conversation, right? Someone more. There's an admission there that the way I've been experiencing life on my own isn't enough to get me through life. Yep. Well done. Nate?
Death is not the end.
Death is not the end. Yes. He knows that there's more even after this, right? Maybe heaven is a ghetto with no bad blocks. Shangri-La, right? Shangri-La. Shangri-La is this sort of mythical paradise place. Paradisical? How would you say that? Paradise-like place. A Shangri-La, it has to do with Buddhism being connected to, it's connected to a monastery, but it's this paradise at the same time. And you know, there's a fair amount of that we could probably say overlaps with Christianity, actually. Not Buddhism itself, but the fact that heaven would be a place of peace connected to contemplation, connected to connecting with the divine. Yeah, absolutely. Well done. Well done. Oh, we got more. Keep going. Death is another pair of shackles. Death is another pair of handcuffs, yes. Yeah, something we want to avoid. Yeah. Jody, were you going to say something too? So you're sensing a fatalism to this, that we're born into this situation where just everyone's told us that we're going to die young, and so we're just going to end up living that out. Yeah. Yes, still looking for a better way to live. Yep. Well done. There's a lot of truth in this song, isn't there? It doesn't get everything right, but it gets a lot right, enough of it to have an ongoing conversation with it, and you guys came up with even more of the things to affirm than I did, so well done. One of the reasons why we do these things together. What should we reject in this song? We never swallow anything whole, including sermons. So if it's stuff on Shadow FM or Shine FM, don't swallow it whole. What should we not swallow whole in this song? Christina. I'm going to come back to fast talk. Yes. Yes and no. The just, you're absolutely right, and I think that's probably part of what you are sensing there. What God is a lot more than just anything, including a cop that we can fast talk. But I'm going to come back to the concept of fast talk. What can we reject? So you're saying that we should reject sort of the short-term life expectancy. Yeah, I think that's part of what Jody was getting at, that there is a message in at least this culture that you really only get a little bit of youth, and you're born to die young, so make the most of it. Right? And that's a fair reading of a culture. Well done. Is it correct? No, we shouldn't swallow that. No. Well done. Anything else that you think we should reject? Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good observation. Yes, and that connects with what Kent said and what Jody said as well. And that's all part of the song. Well done. That we should reject the cyclical sort of fatalism of, well, this is my fate. I've got to resign myself to it. I'm never going to rise above anything else. I can't really get out of it. At the same time, he's almost speaking with two minds, because he'll talk in that way and then talk about how, well, we're trying to find a better way, and I'm openly praying as well. So maybe there isn't a coherence. Maybe it's sort of a back and forth in the poet's mind. Yep. Well done. Please reject karma. Do you know what karma is? Karma is not another word for bad luck. Bad luck has to do with chance, right? Randomness. Sometimes bad things just happen. Karma is an equation. Karma means that you deserve everything bad that happens to you. We have to reject karma because karma victimizes victims. If a baby is born with AIDS, karma would say, well, that child deserved that because of what happened at some point in the past, previous life perhaps. Okay? We reject karma flat out. It is not a different word for bad luck. Not at all. We can fully affirm bad luck. We can fully affirm chance. That is part of how God has ordered this world. That Ecclesiastes says outright, time and chance happen to everyone. Everything doesn't come either from karma or from God. Some things just happen. You get randomly selected at the airport, right? A bird flies overhead and, you know, yeah, randomly selected by the bird. Some things just happen, and that's part of life. But it's not karma. Okay? Karma is very different. Okay? Sometimes we also get the consequences of our actions, and that's not karma, and that's not bad luck. It's just built-in consequences. And we need to talk about that. But when the cop pulls you over and gives you the ticket, that's when fast talk starts sometimes. All right? Fast talk, if you've never heard that term, fast talk means either trying to talk your way out of trouble or talk yourself down from, you know, getting lesser consequences or trying to get your way. And I would like to suggest to you that there's some fast talk that happens in Scripture. Abraham with God, for example, in Genesis. I'm not going to deal with that. We'll leave that for when we get there in Genesis. But I want to look at a psalm that looks very much like fast talk, actually. We're going to look at Psalm 38. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to leave out a few verses because there are a few verses that deal with the psalmist is complaining about his enemies. I'm not going to deal with that stuff. But I am going to focus on the majority of the psalm, which has to do with the psalmist reaping the consequences of his actions and then what he does in response to it. Psalm 38, the psalmist says, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me. And your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long, I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There's no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light of my eyes, or the light has gone from my eyes. I'm like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I have become like one who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord, my God. For I'm about to fall. My pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Lord, don't forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to my help, Lord, my Lord and my Savior. The psalmist knows he's guilty. He admits it three times in three or four different verses, verse 3, 4, 5, and 18. He recognizes that he is guilty and that he is reaping the consequences of his actions. So this isn't bad luck. This isn't karma. This is just the the built-in consequences of his actions, and he's wrestling with it. He's wrestling with his guilt. He's wrestling with longing and anguish. He talks about festering wounds. Maybe it's physical. This is poetry. Maybe he's using this as a metaphor, the pain that he's suffering. He's describing it in physical terms. Maybe it's entirely emotional, mental. I don't know. Maybe it is physical. Not really sure. Poetry leaves it open for us that way. And in a way, it allows us to enter in using, like, as a way of paralleling whatever pain we are going through as well. But notice that he admits that he's guilty, and at the same time, he prays that he wouldn't exactly get the consequences that he deserves and the consequences that he's been suffering. That's a little bit like fast talk, isn't it? He admits that he's wrong, is suffering the consequences, and then notice the way that he prays. It's not exactly, "I am the chief of sinners." It's more like, "God, ease up. Like, I've had enough of the suffering. I've had my share. You need to be done with it." Notice the way that he prays. He prays with a fair amount of fast talk, actually. It's like the cop who pulls you over, and you're doing 150 down Highway 2, and the cop pulls you over and says, "Okay, that's going to be a $475 fine, and your brake light lights out, that's another $115 fine. Let me see your license and insurance and registration. Oh, you don't have insurance. Well, that'll be another $3,000 fine on top of this." And you say, and you just freak out. You panic. You're like, "I can't do that. I won't be able to make my mortgage payment. I will lose my house. I'm paying out of pocket right now for my medication. I can't take any more bills. I can't pay this. I know I'm wrong. I admit I'm wrong, but I can't handle all the consequences." You got to ease up. That's fast talk. That's exactly what's happening in this psalm. Exactly. What is happening in this psalm? It's, "Don't punish me. Ease up." One commentator, John Goldingate, who I mentioned that name because he wrote the Old Testament for Everyone series that I mentioned last week that I recommended to you. It should be your first commentary series if you ever choose to buy a commentary. Psalm 38, this is what he says. Psalm 38 is an unusual example of a psalm that combines an awareness of sin with an awareness of being in trouble. He says, it's easier to be able to disassociate sin and suffering. Either I come to God as a sinner and I seek forgiveness, or I come to God as someone in trouble and I seek deliverance. But Psalm 38 is for people who know that these two are mixed up, as they are for an addict. The psalm, this is the key line he says, the psalm makes it okay to acknowledge that we have done something stupid and still appeal to God for help. God is not just for you when you are innocent, my friends. Maybe God is sometimes a cop. We can fast talk. He's not just. But maybe there's something to this song. Now, if you are someone who's worried that this is a get out of jail free card, notice the psalm. It's not get out of jail free. It's, I'd really appreciate a lighter sentence. There's still consequences. But ease up, God. I can't take anymore. I need your help. Where could you use this prayer? How about, "God, I abused my body for a few years, and I've been suffering the consequences for decades." That's a Psalm 38 situation. You could pray that prayer. What about, we've abused the planet for a long time, and we're suffering the consequences? Psalm 38. What about, "My adult kids don't want anything to do with me because I was an absent parent when they were growing up." Psalm 38. What about, "I've been careless with money, and I've got bills racking up, and I haven't been tithing or giving anything back to you, God, and now the creditors are calling, and I'm in real trouble. God help. What about the, I tried it a couple of times, and now I'm hooked? Psalm 38. What about, I looked the other way when my employees were cutting corners, and now I'm facing a lawsuit? Psalm 38. God offers us this prayer for times of deep need. Deep need that we, the trouble that we got ourselves into, God offers you a prayer that says, pray this way when you got yourself into trouble. God in his compassion says, I know that my people are going to get themselves into trouble sometimes, and I'm going to make sure that they know how to pray in that situation, that they know that they can't always come to me innocent. But they still need to come to me. They need to come to me in prayer. I think that this song is onto something. Because this psalm is onto something as well. We probably shouldn't expect that Shadow FM is going to get everything wrong. We shouldn't expect that Shine FM is going to get everything right. We should expect that as we are listening to Shadow FM, that they get some things right. Because Paul thought that those poets got enough right to talk about. Now, would you like to interact anymore? Do you have any questions? Does this raise anything for you?
Just the line where it says God is just a thought, and then it ends that, then we'd better run. Is that two or away?
That's a wonderful, interesting observation, Stu. Stu noticed that the line talks about God as a cop. Maybe God is just a cop that we can fast talk. And then later on talks about maybe we'd better run. Do we run to God or away from God? Yeah. And which way should we be running regardless of what this guy says? Yeah. According to Psalm 38, which direction should you be running? Two. Even though you're guilty. If you're guilty and you know it, put your hands up. Here I am, God. I need your help. Great observation. Susan. I don't quote myself. Prodigal? The prodigal comes home. Yep. The prodigal knew he was a sinner, and he still comes home. And he throws himself on the mercy of God. Well done. Absolutely. Other comments, questions? Yeah, thank you, David. David quoted verse 11, which I left out, I believe, but it says that the psalmist is observing that while he is suffering, his friends are standing apart from him, which increases his suffering. And David's saying, I don't want to be like that. Christ wouldn't be like that. Clearly, Christ wouldn't be like that because God's not like that, because he wrote this psalm that says, you should be coming to me, like I'm ready to be there with you in trouble, and you should be coming to me. Well done. Absolutely. Yeah. God didn't want any of us to be left alone in our trouble and our suffering, even when we brought it on ourselves. And so he wants to engage us, and one of the main ways we engage with God is through prayer. So pray this psalm. Well done. Any other final comments or questions?
Like it feels like it almost a bit of an allusion to that.
the whole idea of like we're all kind of completely half alive and half dead, but in order to become alive, we have to die to ourselves to come alive in Christ.
Yes.
Which feels like a backwards thing in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lisa is observing the line once again that says, that talks about being half alive and half dead. And she's reminded that paradoxically, we come alive in Christ by dying to ourselves. Paradoxically, Christ rose from the dead and is more alive than ever. Yeah, well done. Thank you. Renee. Yes.
Like he can move you
yes.
forward and away from that behavior and that attitude and that movement.
Yes. Wonderful observation. So Renee is saying that, in a sense, this psalm is only one step in God's whole journey with a person. And this psalm occurs after the trouble has taken place, and we don't yet even know how the psalm ends in terms of how does God resolve that with a person. And Renee is observing that it really does leave it up to us, that say God does answer this prayer and meet us and relieve us of some of the consequences that we've been suffering, we still have this responsibility now to make some different choices going forward. Absolutely. Great observation. And I do love that about this, that this psalm and many others, that God, that this is God's prayer book. This is God endorsing, here's how you should talk to me. And we're often left wondering, how did it end? And we don't know. And you get to write the end of that story. It's great. We need it. Well done. What I'd like to do is have you start sending me some songs from Shadow FM. What songs do you want to interact with? Shoot me an email or a text and say, you know what, this song has a little bit of truth in it that we should interact with. We should talk about. It talks about God. It doesn't get everything right. Sermons don't get everything right. But it has enough that's good or true or beautiful in it that we could interact with it. We could bring scripture to this song. You don't need to even necessarily tell me what scriptures you want to bring to it, though I'd certainly appreciate the help. But if there is a song that you think, you know, this resonates in the same way that it resonated with Paul, he sees a poem about Zeus. And he goes, this speaks some truth about Yahweh, and I'm going to talk to these people about Yahweh using their poems about Zeus. That's awesome. We could do that. You can do that. Let's do that together. So send me some songs from Shadow FM. I would prefer that they be relatively contemporary, but by that I mean recent. I don't really care the genre except country, no country. No, it doesn't have to be my taste. And we'll play it. If it needs a radio edit, I'm sure I can find a radio edit. A cappella if it's country. Send me some songs and we'll interact together and we'll have some fun and we will engage with our culture. This is the way that our culture talks about meaning. We should be engaging with it. I'll offer you a moment for silent reflection. And then Kristen's going to lead us in some congregational prayer.